for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, April the 2nd, 2010. Carla Batod is the speaker of this service teaching on healing.
Okay, well, I'm going to pray before we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now I exercise the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy, and I bind every spirit that would block and hinder your word from going forth. I bind every spirit that would keep your word from entering into the spiritual ears and minds of every person sitting here, myself included. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you did for each one of us on the cross. Lord, we are here to worship you and to remember that time that you gave your life for us, the death and the resurrection of your own self. We thank you for that, Lord. We wouldn't be here without it. And we just look forward to spending eternity with you. I bind and break every spirit of witchcraft right now in Jesus' name. I send out the warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against this camp, the word, every person, the grounds. I bind every antichrist spirit, every spirit of infirmity, accidents and incidences. I bind the spirit of slumber in Jesus' name. Yes. And I thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. Now, you see here years ago when I was a babe in the Lord, I would hear pastors say that Jesus has done all he's going to do. And I used to think, well, what hope is there for me? You know, I have a lot of things that need to be done. But it is true that Jesus said on the cross, he said, it is finished. And that is true. He already has done all he came to do. He fulfilled the will of the Father. And this, I believe, is a time of year, as I was thinking about it being Passover camp. I know that the host of hell must really hate this time of year that we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he put them to shame. He conquered their kingdom. And so we enter in to that victory because of what he did. And so in the Word in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were instructed to remember this time. They celebrate the Passover. And the reason for that, he said, was so that when you do this and your children say, what do we do this for? Then they are to be told and reminded of what happened. So I'm just going to give a brief overview of what Passover is. The story of it is in the book of Exodus chapter 12, and you can read that on your own sometime. But they were instructed to take a lamb without blemish, less than a year old. They were told to kill it and to take the blood, to strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post. They were told to eat it and how to eat it, how to be dressed when they ate it, to eat it in haste and to be ready to go. And why is that? Because in verse 12 it says, and let's look at that, Exodus 12:12. Okay, you remember that Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go, and this was the last thing that God was going to do. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So that's what this was all about. look over at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not permit the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. That was a good thing. This was not a fable. It wasn't a story, a fictitious story that they told their children. It was true. It really happened. And this is a type and shadow of what Jesus would do for us. Now, Jesus has become that perfect sacrifice that was given for us. He became that Lamb, the Lamb of God. His blood has paid the price for our salvation, our healing, our deliverance, and life more abundantly. So to this time we celebrate his death and resurrection. And as Paul said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And there is a power that came with his resurrection. The word resurrect means to rise again from the dead. There was something that I never heard growing up, and I want to read it, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 27. Because, you know, as a kid, this would have gotten my attention. And I hardly ever hear this mentioned, but I think it's worth mentioning. 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, this is at the very end of his crucifixion, yielded up the spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept were raised, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, as a kid, that would have gotten my attention if nothing else did. Can you imagine? That is how powerful his resurrection was. Not only did he raised from the dead, but many bodies came out of the graves, and those dead appeared to many in the city. That is awesome. And because in 2 Timothy 1:10 it says that Christ abolished death, but we have death working in us because of what Adam did. Death entered in, but Christ has abolished that death. So we don't have to have death working in us anymore. More importantly, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive this resurrection power. We have in us that power, that resurrection power of God. Why? Why did Jesus want us to have this? Why did God want us to have this? Because when Jesus was here, he did it. He had that he had the power of God in him, and he did the works. But then he gave it to the 12, then he gave it to the 70. Now he's given it to the believers. There wasn't enough of him and just those to do the works that he wanted done on this earth. So he had to go so that he could send that power to us, so that we could continue the works that he did, so that we could establish his kingdom here on this earth. That's the Father's business, establishing the kingdom. In John 14:12, he says, verily, verily, Jesus said this, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, the believer shall do, the believer. Now, I have sometimes conversations with people who have religious spirits, or they belong to churches that don't believe these things, or they believe that they've already died. Those things have passed away with the apostles. But in this scripture, he says, he's talking to the disciples, yes, but he says, those who believe on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. See, it wasn't just the disciples that were going to do these things, not just the apostles, but believers. And we are believers here today, are we not? Okay. He says in Luke 17:21, Jesus says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." If we have received Jesus Christ, His kingdom is in us. And the reason that His kingdom is not already established on this earth is because we have the kingdom in us and we have not been releasing the kingdom into the earth. I'm going to get to what I'm really talking about in just a minute, but I wanted to lay this groundwork. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding," now that means greater than abundantly, greater than abundantly, "above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The power is in us. And those things can happen according to the power that works within us and that we work. You know, earlier, you guys weren't in here, but we were having trouble with the sound system. And, you know, they were fooling with it and we couldn't get it to work. And this is something that God began to show me 5 or 6 years ago. And so it's just second nature to me now. Really, I want it to become first nature. First nature. I said, well, I just take dominion over that sound system and I command it to work in Jesus' name. And the next second, it clicked on. See, there are little mechanical demons that would want to come in here and mess up the air conditioning. I've learned, I started taking dominion over all the works of, you know, in the past as we've had water lines break, gas lines break, electricity going off, the air conditioning failing. You know, the demons don't want this place to operate because we are encroaching on their land. We are in the business of taking our land. And this is our land. Our bodies are our land. Our homes, our families, our communities. That's our land. I'm going to have to get some water, excuse me. So Jesus had to go back to the Father in order to send His Holy Spirit, the very power of God, to all who would believe on Him, to continue the work of establishing the kingdom of God upon the earth. As He said, "Pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth." We're earth. We were made of dirt. We're dirt. We're earth. So He wants His will to be done in us, and that way it's going to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah prophesied of Jesus. Turn to Isaiah 53. Because, see, Jesus has given us an inheritance. And this is what He has given us through Jesus Christ. Now, this was prophesied way before Jesus was ever born. Just like the lamb in Exodus is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, Isaiah now is talking about this one who will come. And it says in verse 2, 53:2, "For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And that's what I want to talk about today, is healing. Because with his stripes we are healed. Now look at Luke 4:18, because now Jesus is on the scene and he walks in to the temple in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up and he asked for the book the book of Isaiah was brought to him, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and this is actually from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, of these things, we've got the preaching part down really good. We hear the preaching, the preaching, the preaching, the preaching, the preaching. And because Jesus Christ is now in us, because we possess this resurrection power, we are now the anointed one, just like Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and it is the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, but he's even in us. So we are walking vessels of the power of God. And yet we have many things that mess with our lives, and we see ourselves as defenseless and helpless in these things. But it's time for us to realize who we are, who is in us, and what he has commissioned us to do and equipped us to do so that we can establish his kingdom. And healing is, I love deliverance. Deliverance and healing are to the flesh body what salvation did to our spirit. It's the finishing. It said, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and it does, then it will quicken your mortal bodies, your flesh and blood and bone body. It will give us a quickening, that Spirit of God in us. And so healing and deliverance work hand in hand, because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes these sicknesses are caused by spirits. When I first got saved, one of the first things that God dealt with me about was healing. I guess because I had some sicknesses in my body that I really hated. I was plagued with allergies. And one of the first books that I read when I got saved, now, you know, if I'm sure if I had gone to a theologian or a pastor, he probably would have told me to read the book of John first. But I didn't even know to go ask. I asked the Lord, show me where to start. And I ended up in the book of James, which I know it was God, because I had a mouth problem. I had a problem with my tongue. You know, I was the one who, when people saw me coming, oh no, here she comes, all she does is gripe and complain. You were talking about my old man. But I did have that problem, and so, and I was very impatient. I had an anger problem, a generationally inherited rage, you know, that would sneak up behind me and surprise me when I least expected it, and hurt a lot of people with that. And so I love deliverance, but I also love healing, because God has healed me of allergies. Even in James, when I read, James, well, it says in James that you are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, that's pretty close in that chapter, that book. And so when I read it, you know, I just really, God was really speaking to me through this book. And so when I saw that, I said, Lord, I don't want to be a hearer only, because it says if you're a hearer only, you deceive yourselves. I don't want to be deceived. And so because of that, I'm going to be a doer as well as a hearer. If I read it in your word, not only will I believe it, but I will do it. Now, I think you have to make a decision like that. You have to make a decision that you're going to be a doer. Because until you make that decision, you're still trying to decide. It's like, how long will you halt between two opinions? Let's either get over here and do this, or get over here and do this. So that was my decision, was that I was going to be a doer of the Word. And so I began to do the Word. When I would read that Jesus said to do something, I would do it. Now, healing, I noticed, as you know, this is like the third or fourth time I've taught on healing, and when I asked the Lord, what do you want me to teach on, and he said, healing. I said, again? I mean, I've done that already, but okay. So I had to study again and go back through all those scriptures. And it was just amazing because God's Word is alive. It never gets stale. It's new every time you read it. He'll show you something different every time you read it. And that happened this time, and it was exciting to me. One thing I noticed was that healing was a great evangelical tool. I mean, everywhere he went, he healed, and everywhere he went, people followed. He drew large crowds because people had needs. And we, as the church, have needs. The church is sick. The church is in lack. The church is, for all practical purposes, almost ineffective. And this is why people are going somewhere else, because they're not seeing the power of God where it belongs. And I love coming here because we, when the corporate anointing of God's people come together, things happen as it should be. And so, in Matthew 4:23, it said that Jesus, well, let's just read that. Matthew 4. Now, I'm not going to, you know, I had tons and tons of scriptures. I was going to go type them all up and read through all of them. Guess what? I'm going to let you do some of the work. I'm going to show you all a few, but it would be a good idea to go through your Bible. In my Bible, I have marked out in the margin every single time I put an H when he healed. If it involved a demon, I put a D with the H. And so I can go in my Bible and look at every time Jesus healed and every time it involved a demon and what he did. Matthew 4:23-25. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And you know, I think the gospel of the kingdom might be different than the gospel that we hear all the time. Because it says that when that gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, has been preached all over the earth, then he will come. Now, we call the gospel the good news, but really what we hear is salvation messages. We hear lots of salvation messages, and we hear lots of repenting, and that's all important. That's the beginning. You have to do that to even get in. You have to forgive. But there is a gospel of the kingdom, and I can't even tell you what it all is. I just know that suddenly I'm beginning to see in places where he talks about the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom, and that's an important thing. And he did preach the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with demons, and those who were epileptics, and those who had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people. Jesus gained a reputation, and when people heard he was coming, they brought all their sick people, all their demon-possessed people, and he healed them. So it's a great evangelical tool. I heard a testimony of a man the other day who, he was in a foreign country, and he had a team with him. And, you know, they were going out and witnessing, and they encountered some Muslims. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to try to convince you about my God, I'm going to prove it to you. He said, does anybody here have an affliction or anything? And this man had been in an accident and had this terrible gash, and, you know, he had had surgery or stitches or whatever. And he just administered healing to that man, and it totally healed. Now that got their attention. And as healing always will, because there's such a need. Everybody, almost everybody I know needs healing in some way. James 5:4 says, is there any sick among you? I think we would have more hands if we said, or less hands if we said, are there any well among you? Are there any well among you? Few and far between. So healing is something that is really needed in the church. Look at Matthew 8, just a couple of chapters over, 8:14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. And the result of that, in verse 18, now when Jesus saw great multitudes, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Multitudes would come. In verse 9, it says, chapter 9, let's see, 9:1. And he entered into a boat and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why think ye evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power unto men. They glorified God. That's another thing you're going to see a lot. Every time Jesus healed, or every time the disciples healed, or every time anybody healed, the result of that was they glorified God because they knew it was the power of God that did it. See, they glorified God. Luke 9. I hope it's verse 1 since I don't have a scripture there. Luke 9. Okay, Jesus had sent out his disciples. They went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They returned and told Jesus all they had done. Look at verse 11. And the people, when they knew, followed him. And he received them and spoke unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Is there anyone here today who has need of healing? Is there anyone here today who has need of healing? Look at Acts 3. This is the healing of the lame man, and this is Peter and John. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his birth, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. See his response? He wasn't praising Peter and them. He followed them into the temple and he was praising God for his healing. In verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man who was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, and they were greatly wondering. So here again, they see a miracle of healing. And it had a great effect on all of those who saw it. Now, I could go on and on with all of these stories of healings that Jesus did. But I want to ask you, do you know that it's God's will for you to be healed? That's another decision you have to make in order to be healed. You have to know that it is His will for you to be healed. He shed every drop of His blood on that cross. Every drop for our healing, for our deliverance, for our salvation, for our peace. Every drop, it was complete. He said, it is finished. He didn't leave anything undone. None of these people that He healed were healed almost all the way. No, they were totally made whole. And that is His will for us. That is His will for us. Look at Matthew 8:2. We'll just start at 1. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him. Now, I want you to understand that in some of these scriptures where it says, and they worshipped Him, they weren't worshipping Him as the Son of God, the Lord. It meant they came and they put themselves in a posture of submission to Him. They knew that He had power, and they brought themselves to Him in a posture of submission because they wanted something. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, one day I read this account of the leper. At the time, it was in January, and twice a year I would be sick for a couple of months each time with allergies. You know, it would start with a little, you'd have to clear your throat once in a while, and then the sore throat would come, and then the glands would swell, and I would lose my voice, and my ears would get stopped up, and then it would all move down into my chest, and I'd have this horrible cough and an upper respiratory infection. That was the cycle of my life. I had inherited it from my dad and his family. My mother had allergies too, so from both sides of the family, these allergies would plague me. And I hated it because I'd be sick a couple of, it always cost a lot of money. Got to go to the doctor, get antibiotics, get a shot, go back and get more antibiotics. And, you know, I was just really tired of it. And I read this about the leper one morning, and I confronted the Lord with it. I said the same thing to Him the leper said. I couldn't even talk. I'd lost my voice, and I was driving the car. And I had fever and I was sick and I just thought about it. I could show you on the highway right where I was when He spoke to me. But I said, Lord, I'm going to say to you the same thing the leper said. If you wanted to, you could heal me of these allergies. And He said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. And I'm trying to comprehend that, you know. And then He said, did I not say it is finished? And then I realized all those years what those men of God were saying. He has done everything. You know, to ask Him, Lord, heal me. He's saying, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. See, we have to receive it. We have to go after those things of God. It's just like what I read to you in Isaiah, and this is the way the Lord gave it to me to present it one time. Jerry, would you pass those out? What's your name again? Would you help her with this stack right here? She's got some, Jerry. My husband and I have a little optical shop in Jasper, Texas, and the man that we rent from is an attorney. And I was asking the Lord one time, how can I make this real? And I was laying in the bed early in the morning, and I just saw this. It was just like one of those papers were just like shown to me like that. And it was this. And so I went to the attorney and I said, can I have a blank copy of a will? And he said, well, can I ask you what you plan to do with it? So I told him. And so he gave me one. And this is what came of that. As I did a word study on Isaiah 53, and you will see what each of those words broken down, that it covers every single thing that we would ever suffer. Every single thing. So this is our inheritance. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, it said that he died for the sins of the whole world. His blood has provided healing for all the sicknesses of the whole world. Will everybody have salvation? No, because you have to receive it. It's not automatic. When he died, the whole world didn't automatically get saved. No, there are some requirements. You have to receive it. You have to believe on him. You have to acknowledge what he did for you and receive it and receive that salvation for yourself. And you have to do the same thing with healing. You have to do the same thing with deliverance. Every area of your life that you have victory in is going to involve you getting violent after it. As it says in Matthew 11:12 or 12:11 or one of those. It says that that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. And that word violent means the vitally active, energetic, and forceful. That is a description of the church, the true church. They're not lazy. They're not just sitting around waiting for everything to be handed to them. No, it takes vitally active, energetic, and forceful for you to possess everything that Jesus Christ has died for you to have. So that's what I did that day. I got vitally active. Lord, if you wanted to, he said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. Well, I don't know how. How do I receive it? I don't know how. And then I said, okay, if this involves faith, then I receive it by faith. I receive that healing today by faith, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Did it leave immediately? Nope. I still felt sick as a dog all the rest of the day, but the very next morning, it was gone. Every bit. And I don't have allergies anymore. That is a miracle. That is healing. And it's for all who belong to him. Okay? Now look at 8. Okay, we just read 8:2. Okay, let's look at verse 5. In 8:5, Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will. See, it's his will. He wills to make us whole. I will come and heal him. Well, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What he's saying is, among my own people, I have not seen so great a faith. This is an officer, but he understood authority. And that is something that we must understand is our authority. And we must understand the authority of Jesus Christ. We must understand the authority of His Word. Yes, and be under. When we submit ourselves, we come under His authority. And so, this man said, you just say the word, and it'll be done. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of word in here. It's the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And if you understand the authority of His Word, let me just, I don't have to flip over here, but this is in Hebrews. I'll never forget the day I saw this too. Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, Jesus, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Not by the power of His word, but by the word of His power. So the word is His power. So it has great authority. And so, you know, when I started reading the Bible, now let me tell you a little bit about myself. I wouldn't call myself a well-educated person. I graduated high school. That's it. But I had a wonderful dad who I loved, who was a godly man, and I was submitted to his authority. My daddy was a man of his word. My daddy exemplified those characteristics in himself as my earthly father that my heavenly father has also. And I'm going to tell you something. When my daddy said, you could hang your hat on it. And that was important to me. So when I first started reading the word, I believed it. I just believed it. And I used to say, I'm a simple-minded person. I'm not simple-minded. But the gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. And sometimes it's been made so difficult that people can't even get it. And God knows that I am simple in that way. I don't have to be complicated. If He said it, I believe it. And that's it. And I made that decision, and I'm still sticking to it. With great and mighty things in my life because of that. So I encourage you to make that decision to believe His Word. Okay, so now we see that He wills. And on Jesus' Word, He said it. And then God said, after Jesus said, I have not found so great faith, in verse 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, be it done unto you. So if Jesus said it, if it's in the Word and you believe it, and you act on the authority of that Word, as you have believed, so it will be done unto you. Okay, now, He wills. My question to you is, will you? Will you? Turn to John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep, a pool by the sheep gate, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made well of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there now a long time. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made well? So we see that Jesus wills. So now the question is, will you be made whole? This man says, the impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled. Now, I want to talk about this water just for a minute, because this is not in, I want to mention it because this pool, for many years, was mysterious to me. I don't think this pool, I think it was all witchcraft. Because this is not God's way of healing. If we had to stand, if I said, okay, y'all line up here, and the first one that gets up here gets to be healed, everybody else goes away wanting. I really believe that this was a witchcraft thing. It was superstition. But let me tell you about superstition. If you believe in it, it's real. It's real. So I think that's what this pool was. So here is Jesus, the healer, standing in his midst and asking him, do you want to be made whole? And he says, oh, man, if I could get down to that water first, I could get whole. He's been there 38 years. Can you imagine laying somewhere 38 years waiting to be healed? And yet we do that sometimes. And Jesus was in his midst. And Jesus is in our midst. He's here. He is here today. He is in our midst. And he wills. He wills for us to be made whole. So I don't care how long you've had your affliction or your ailment. I don't care if it's physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual. I don't care if you've exhausted every other means of trying to get well. Jesus is in our midst, and he's already provided the need, your need, my need. He's waiting for you to receive it. Let me just hear you say out loud, Lord Jesus, I receive by faith. I receive by faith. Because that's how you have to receive it. Everything we receive, everything we get from the kingdom of heaven, we have to receive it by faith. You know, I have a testimony of just getting this lesson together. You know, I'm going back over all these scriptures. You know, the Word says in Exodus 15:26, God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalm 107:20, He sent His Word and healed them. We know that Jesus is the Word. Isaiah 53:5. With His stripes, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes ye were healed. That's past tense. That kind of goes in line with, I've already done it. Psalm 103:3. Who healeth all thy diseases. None of these were, you can be healed, or you're gonna be healed. It's present tense, or past tense. You are, and you were. So, the question is, why are we sick? Well, if He did it, and we're Christians, and it's ours, then why are we sick? Well, we have to appropriate it. We have to go after it. We have to apply what He's done to our lives, specifically in the area of healing. We have to apply that to our lives. You have to possess it for yourself. It's just like these wheels. If someone in your family, a rich uncle or whoever, leaves in his will an inheritance for you, you don't just sit at home and have it. No, you've got to go down and you've got to have that will read and you've got to go get it. And it's the same way with this. We have to go get those things that Jesus Christ has died for us to have. So while I was getting this ready, I had an incident 2.5 years ago. God's teaching me a whole lot, especially about covering myself before I get up here. Because at that time, and he's teaching me a lot about witchcraft, but at that time I had done a teaching, and while I was behind the pulpit, it felt like somebody walked up behind me with a big lighter and was holding a fire right under my bottom. I mean, it was just, I wanted to turn around and slug, but there was nobody there. But supposedly, it was 2 brown recluse spider bites, which today I don't even believe it was a spider bite. I think a curse was, a witchcraft curse attacked me while I was there. And so I went home very sick. And I was in the bed for 6 weeks. And I know that if I'd gone to the hospital, they would have done worse things than dying to me. So I didn't go. We did call a friend who is a doctor, and where I live, people are bitten by spiders all the time. And so he's very familiar with the process, so he sent out some very strong antibiotics, which were so strong that they would make you sick, so he gave me a medication to take with it so that it wouldn't make me sick. And I don't know if you know about brown recluse spider bites, but they damage tissue. It kills tissue. And so I had these 2 holes, and just it's almost like one whole side of me just melted and oozed out. You know, it was awful, awful, awful. And I ran like 104 temperature, and I didn't even know where I was for about 10 days. But anyway, because of the damage that was done there, there was some nerve damage. So for a whole year after that, I had this tingling in my leg. It would start right at those places and just tingle all the way down my leg. It was kind of annoying, you know. But I was speaking restoration, speaking to those nerves to, you know, speaking a reversal of all the damage, speaking to the nerves to awaken and connect and everything work like it's supposed to. Well, a process of things happened over the next year. Pain here, pain there. But for about a year, I have not been able to walk without a slight limp because of this nerve damage. And it was now in my foot, like right behind my toes. Just, I could not put my weight on that part of my foot. So I'm getting this ready after the Lord said, teach on healing, and I've got it all ready, and Mike and I went somewhere last Saturday, and we just went, and I realized I could walk without pain. I said, Mike, I can walk without pain. I'm not limping. And it didn't even occur to me that it was because, you know, I told him I'm going to have a hat made out of a catcher's mitt because sometimes I just, you know, don't get it. But Sunday morning, I said, Mike, do you think that because I have been in the Word and going over all these scriptures, that healed that last thing that was in this affliction? I believe it. That's my testimony. Okay, look at Acts 10:38. Now, a lot of people think, or they put up with their sickness because a lot of reasons. Some people think that, you know, God put the sickness on them because he wants to teach them something. Now, I believe that sickness can come when we're in disobedience. I believe sin can bring sickness on you. Even one of the men that Jesus healed, he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So sin, and then there is just sickness is in this world because we live in a fallen world. It came in the garden with Adam's fall. It says that sin and death is the ruler spirit over all infirmity. It's meant to kill you. That's why the sin brought in death. There's more ways than that. death. Well, I did a teaching on death. Y'all can get that. There's two involved, but there is a lot more to that than just dying and getting in the grave. It means a gradual wasting away, which is what aging is. You know? So, I'm coming against aging. He abolished death. Why should everything in me start dying? I have that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So, death is the ruler spirit over all infirmity. And so, I know that if it came through the fall, then it was part of Satan's plan. Sickness is. And here is where the Lord showed me that that is absolutely true. Where did I say go? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, if he encountered these people and they needed healing, what does that tell you? They had sickness. They had affliction. And it says right here, they were all oppressed of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And sickness is a work of the devil. Okay, that is Peter's, that's part of Peter's great testimony of Jesus. When I think about sickness, I look at it as like Mike and I live on 28 acres. And it would be like us letting a complete stranger bring a trailer house and park right next to us and live on our land. Or building a house right next to your house on your property. Someone just comes in and starts building a house. Hey, what are you doing? This is my land. You got to get off. You cannot build here. That's how I see sickness on our bodies. It's a trespasser. It's trying to come and set up house in our land. And it's a trespasser. And we need to deal with those sicknesses in us just like we would if someone tried to come and set up a house on our land. No. I've got the deed to this property, you know, and you're not building here. So that's it. We need to be that kind of forceful with the enemy when he comes with sickness to us. Another thing that impressed me this time when I was reading all of these scriptures was that there were three or four kinds of people. There were those that he touched. He laid hands on them and they were healed. And then there were those who touched him. There was the lady with the issue of blood. Jesus was on his way to do something else and she came up from behind and touched him. She was believing. She had heard about Jesus and she knew that if she could just get to him, she could be made whole. That was her belief. She had faith that if she could do that. So she went and she touched him and she was healed. He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Her faith made her whole. See, we can have faith. We can have faith in the Word. We can have faith in him. We can have faith in the fact that he's already done it and we're going to go after it and we're going to receive it. Okay? And then there were those who, just by the authority of his word, they were healed. So now, we can do the same thing. By believing on the authority, by understanding the authority of his word, we can receive healing. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Now, when I started reading these scriptures, well, don't let me get ahead of myself. Okay. So Jesus healed them all. However, look at Matthew 13:58. See, I said a while ago that sin can cause sickness. You can have receive this. You can be born with it. It's generationally inherited. Sometimes these sicknesses will lay dormant in your body until the time is right. Like heart disease may not show up when you're born, but it will when you get to be 40 or 50. Lots of men have heart attacks in their 50s, women too. So there are stages in our lives that will, these things can lay dormant in our bodies until that opportune time, and then it happens. or it can be a demonic attack from a sickness, like the thing. That was a demonic attack. I'm thoroughly convinced that there was not. I've never heard of anybody being bitten by two brown reckless sacrifice. You know, I got bitten by a brown recluse spider bite, but this was two. I just really don't think there were two spiders there. And there was more involved in that, but that's not even the point. Okay. In Matthew 13:58, it says, Jesus was talking, and then after that, in 58, it says, and he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. A prophet is not up above. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. You will find that is true if you start moving in these things. I began to move in the area of healing because I knew I had received healing. I knew that Jesus wants to heal, and he gave us instruction to heal. But I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But you'll run into a lot of unbelief. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So see, this can be a block to healing, is unbelief. So I just take authority right now in the name of Jesus over any unbelief in this house right now. I take authority over it. I bind it. I break your power, and I command you to go in Jesus' name, that you will not block anyone from receiving healing today in Jesus' name. Now look at Luke 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. That's important. You need to get in the wilderness sometime all by yourself and pray. In 17 it said, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. These are experts now. We're talking about the religious leaders and the experts of the law sitting by, who were come out of every town. It wasn't just a few. There was a bunch of guys in this place. Big dogs. Every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And look what it says. And the power of the Lord was to heal them. Well, guess what? They didn't get healed. And behold, but there were some people, see, who heard that Jesus was going to be in the house. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man who was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The point is, religious spirits can block your healing. And there are some of us who have backgrounds of religious upbringings that had particular doctrines that you were born into, baptized in, whatever. But these doctrines, unless they are renounced, can keep you from receiving healing. Religious spirits. So right now, in the name of Jesus, if there are any of these doctrinal religious spirits, error, lies, doctrines of demons, that are in any of us that need to be renounced, just say it. Lord, I renounce every lie that I was taught in the name of Jesus. I renounce it. Now I bind that religious spirit and I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every religious spirit, every lie from the pit of hell, every lie of the devil that it's not for you, I bind it and break it now in Jesus' name. So religious spirits. Now I want to go back and just mention this man that was at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5 for a minute. You know, he said, when Jesus said, "Will you be made whole?" He said, "Oh, you know, if I could just get down to that water first, I could be whole." That had become an idol to him. That's what he was depending on. So my question is, are you depending on something else other than Jesus for your healing? Because it's idolatry. And idolatry can keep you from receiving healing. Do you remember the bronze serpent? You know, God released those fiery serpents because the people, listen to this carefully, were complaining against God and Moses. That brought fiery serpents into the camp. Now, this is what I love about God. He tells Moses to take this brass, this bronze serpent, and put it on a stick. So if anybody gets bitten by one of these serpents, all they have to do is look at it. What does that mean? They're going to have to stick pretty close to the one they're complaining. Don't you love that? They don't even want to be around him, but they got to stay close in case they get bit so they can look on the snake and be healed. However, later it is mentioned, when Hezekiah became king, he had to destroy that bronze serpent. Why? Because the children of Israel had begun to burn incense to it. Now it was an idol. See, we do this all the time. We go after the provision instead of the provider. We worship the provision instead of the provider. We make an idol out of the provision instead of the provider. And it's idolatry. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of idolatry. In fact, I think it would be important for us to say, Lord Jesus, forgive us. Forgive me for the areas of idolatry that I've been involved in. I ask you to forgive me. Now I bind every spirit of idolatry. I break your power and I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of idolatry, everything that you've trusted in other than Jesus Christ, I bind it and break it in Jesus' name so we can be healed. It is. That's the snake. Okay. In Matthew, let's see. He healed them all. He healed them all. Might be on the wrong page in my notes. Okay, we read some accounts where Jesus healed people. Then in Matthew, look in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12, and they're mentioned up above, the disciples that he had called out, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, you could just change that almost to say the church. Go to those that are lost and sick and dying in the church. That's his commission. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he told them to do this: heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. When you begin to receive these things, there's going to be a boldness in you to do it for others. That's what happened to me. When I received healing, oh man, I wanted to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Because that is what he told them to do. And they did it. Okay? Look at Luke chapter 10. That was the disciples. Now it's going to be the 70. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. and sent them two by two. That's kind of important, I think. If Jesus sent them out two by two, I think it'd be a good idea if we don't go by ourselves. Two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. I would say that's still true today. Got a lot of preachers. But the laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, look over at verse 8. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are there. See, it's in my experience, when I was, and it was always the religious folk, you know, that would come to me. I had people that I knew how to pray, and I would call and say, would y'all please be praying for me because I'm going to Houston to pray for this lady that's dying. Well, is she a Christian? Now I'm bombarded with all these questions. Well, is she a Christian? Well, I really don't know. Well, it's not going to do any good for you to pray if she's not a Christian. Well, I looked in the Word. Yeah, Jesus prayed for a lot of people that didn't belong. No. If you're not sure, go and see. Go to the Word and check it out. Because I'm glad that I did that, because I might have said, oh, okay, well, I shouldn't do that. Well, that lady might be dead today. She was on life support, and she's alive and well today. When I would go pray for people, family, well, he doesn't need you to heal her. God can do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to heal her, he can. Well, then why did he say for us to go? Why did he say for us to go if he doesn't need us? You know, I mean, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. He just said, go into the city and heal the sick. And we saw what happened. Multitudes. And this is the 70. This is not even Jesus. This is ordinary folk that did what Jesus said. And it was a great evangelical tool. It brought people into the kingdom. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. Now, we hear this a lot. Look down at 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. He says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I'd like to stop right there, because that he's telling us that he's given us that power to do those things. And then it's always followed with notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that kind of just does away with the first part. Why do we have to downplay one to upplay the other? Yes, we do rejoice that our names are written in heaven, and because of that, we can do those things. It's not that, oh man, look at me, I've got power over the demon. No, that's not the point. The point is to get his people free so that they can go out and do likewise. And the kingdom of God can be established on the earth, and people can live the Christian life successfully. But don't downplay it. Yes, the more important thing is we're saved. Our names are written in heaven. But now that they are, let's be about the Father's business. Okay? And look at 23. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen, and to hear those things which you hear, and they've not heard them. So do you have that desire to see these things that Jesus did, that you do the same also? So that was the 70. And then, I'm just going to skip through these because we're kind of running out of time. But in the book of Acts, I looked at all of the people who, after Jesus was gone, not just the apostles, Peter and John healed the lame man. It says in Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Philip, 8:5-8, cast out demons and healed many. Peter raises the dead. Dorcas. Paul and Barnabas in 14:3 gave testimony, signs and wonders by their hands. Paul, the crippled, upon hearing, had faith to be healed. He healed the crippled man. Paul in 16:8 cast out the spirit of divination from the woman. You know, he wasn't polite to the devil. He didn't even ask her, are you here for deliverance? He just turned around and said, shut up and come out of her. Paul, after he was bitten by the snake, the deadly snake, and did not die, healed the father of Publius or whatever his name is, of fever and a bloody flux. Sounds like pretty yucky sickness. Paul in a house meeting. Right after he healed the father of Publius, it says, others having diseases came and were healed. Paul, in a house meeting in 28:24, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from morning till evening. Sounds like Blake Hamilton, doesn't it? Some believe, some not. So we'll have some who believe and some who won't. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no sickness. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In Mark 16, I love that it says, because this has been my experience, Mark 16, when he said, here again, now he's talking to the believers again, and these signs shall follow those who believe. Not these signs shall follow only the apostles until they die and then it all ends. No. Those who believe. In my name shall they, the believers, cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that's what, you know, I went out with that for a little while in fear and trembling. Until one day I went back and saw this. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto him, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. See, he was up there. Now they're down here, but they went. They did what he said. And when you do that, he is going with you. And he is going to work with his word with signs following. And that began to be my experience. I would go, the Lord was with me, and he confirmed. Are all healed? No. My mother said, well, everybody that you go lay hands on is not healed. I said, that's true. There's probably been about 10, but they may not even be alive today had I not done it. I would rather do it and the chance of them being healed is there than not do it and nobody gets healed. And it's a learning process. But today, I want to offer, as we've heard, he wills. Do you will? And if you would receive today by faith, by touching him, by him touching you, by the authority of his word, by any of these means, doesn't matter to me. If you have need of healing in your body, I want you to, I'm giving you the opportunity to come. I'm not telling you to come because all those who came of their own will. But it's here. His healing, his power is to heal you. And if anyone would like prayer for healing, if you'll just come up front, James, see, that is the provision that God gave the church in James 5:14. Is any among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and be anointed with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And He will save the sick and raise him up. So, I just invite you to come. We're going to anoint you with oil. You have some? Okay.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.